Whoa, buddy. Put that thing back in its holster. We haven't gone anywhere.
I don't understand.
Check out the MichaelDukesShow.com for information on how to get access to the podcast.
And welcome back. It is the Michael Duke Show, your home for Common Sense Radio. It is Firearms Friday, your chance to talk about issues of a Second Amendment nature. As I said before I went to break, I was reading this article on Medium.com from BJ Campbell. The headline reads, "Everybody's lying about the link between gun ownership and homicide." And what I thought was interesting about this article is that the author attempted to take it from both angles, from both the pro-gun side and their arguments and the anti-gun side and their arguments. And he basically is just saying, look, that doesn't necessarily prove out and it's true. And he goes through the whole things and he gets some deep into some of the numbers. And my eyes started to glaze over at one point. And so I thought the best thing to do is to bring on our resident statistician on firearms, on guns, on crime, and that is Dr. John Lott, who is the author of the book, More Guns, Less Crime, his latest work, The War on Guns, and of course, he is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. He joins us this morning to talk about stats, statistics, and actual facts on guns and firearms and, death, homicide, and gun laws right here in the United States. Good morning, Doctor. How are you?
Hi, Michael. Doing fine. I hope you're doing well, too.
Doing good. I hope you guys are all set up for a good and merry Christmas. I appreciate you taking the time out to talk with us this morning. So, Dr. Lott, you hear that headline, you hear some of the things that he lays out there. And I know that you've done some extensive work on, obviously the name of one of your books was More Guns Equals Less Crime. And then I'm assuming that crime would include homicides, not just robberies and things like that. But let's talk for just a minute about, gun ownership in America, violent crime and homicides and everything else. These things have run on inverse ramps, right? Gun ownership has gone up. And homicides and violent crimes, according to the FBI and the UCR, continue to diminish as we move forward. Are there trends there? Are there correlations? Is there a correlation between those two?
Well, I think there is. I don't think this guy does a particularly good job of looking at the data. Look, just as an aside, before we get into this too much, homicides aren't just crimes. Murders are crimes, but homicides are not the same thing as murder quite. They're murders plus justifiable homicides.
Okay.
And why one wants to go and lump justifiable homicides together with murders as you do with homicides is not exactly obvious to me.
Right.
But whether you look at homicides or other types of violent crimes, you find that there is that inverse relation that you're talking about. First of all, let me just say, even if you find a negative relationship with looking purely across places at one point in time, and I think there is that negative relationship, that's not really the way that most academics look at the data. There's three ways. I hope I'm not getting too much in the weeds, but there's three ways of looking at the data. You can either look across places at one point in time. And that's usually what we see in newspapers and what have you.
Right.
Or you can look at one place over time. Or what you can really do is combine the two and have what we call panel data, where you're following lots of different places over time. And that's the last one, pretty much most people do. And I just, since this guy is dealing with cross-country data in this, I'll just give you a simple example. A lot of people will make a comparison between the United Kingdom and the U.S. They'll say,
right,
look, the U.K. has very strict gun control laws. Very few guns are owned there. Handguns are banned, for example. They have a low homicide rate. So the claim would be it must be because they have strict gun control laws that they have a low homicide rate. What I would point out is that they had an even lower homicide rate before they had the gun control laws that were there. I would argue that they have a low homicide rate still. I mean, it's not as high as what you have in the United States by any means, for sure. But it's still higher than it used to be. And I would argue that it's low relative to the United States, despite their gun control laws, because they'd be even lower. You know, you look at the handgun ban that went into effect in January 1997. In the next 8 years, you had a 50% increase in the homicide rate in the UK. And it declined after that, but only after, within a two-year period of time, you had a 14% increase in the number of police officers in the country. And they increased the number of officers even further after that. And I think there's a lot of evidence that indicates that police are extremely important in stopping crime. And you have a big, huge increase in the number of police officers like that in a short period of time, you're going to see some impact from it. So what you really want to do is to see how, and there are lots of reasons why crime rates differ. I mean, there's a reason why before the UK even had any gun control laws, it had a very low crime rate or homicide rate.
Right.
So you look at, they had their first gun control laws in 1920. Prior to that, there were no rules. Gun ownership, very widespread, very common in the UK. There's a book by Joyce Lee Malcolm from Harvard University Press, Guns and Violence. And she goes through and points out that in the years prior to that, in London, a city of 8.5 million people, you'd have 2 gun murders in the city.
Wow.
You'd have 5 armed robberies. I mean, I can't even get my mind around the fact that you can have extremely wide gun ownership, 8.5 million people, and have 2 gun murders. You know, obviously there was something different there that existed. And you see this across different countries, and it's just wrong to attribute things that could be due to religion or other social aspects or other things that are going on in the country there to purely guns. And so anyway, what you really want to do is to see kind of how crime rates change in a place before and after they change their gun control laws, and how they're changing relative to other places that aren't changing their rules.
Right.
And that's not what this guy does. But for the article that you sent me, that you'd asked me to go and look at. And there are lots of other problems. So on one of these axes here, one of the comparisons he's making is with gun ownership, and he's using something called the Small Arms Survey, which is not, I mean, you pick up the New York Times or the Washington Post or other outlets and they cite and use the Small Arms Survey all the time. It's just not a serious operation. If you go to and look at their annual their reports that they put out on gun ownership, they don't even provide even references for most of the countries. Their 2017 report.
Right.
The only thing, if you go through all the footnotes, it cites one survey that dealt with 20 countries. And when I've tried to contact them, and I've done so many times, I say, look, you guys, your numbers are used all over the place. Can you go and you tell me what your sources were for estimating gun ownership rates in different countries beyond the 20 that you mentioned from this one survey? And they refuse. And I've been bugging them since 2013. I'm getting to the point where I'm going to go beyond just asking for stuff. But it's, you know, I've had other things to have to deal with. But it's just, you know, it's just not a serious discussion. You know, so for example, I can only guess what's going on in some places, but Israel, they'll say Israel has 7 guns per 100 people. You know, the only possible thing, even if they did have a source for that, would be that in Israel, the government technically owns almost all the guns.
Right. They loan them to the citizens, right?
you may have possession of a gun for 50 years, but the government technically owns it. And so, you know, you could get a relatively low number for Israel if you only looked at privately owned guns and ignored whether people possess guns. But it seems to me, if you're concerned about people using guns, in some way, it should be possession, not technical ownership, that should matter. You know, Israel and Switzerland are two places that probably have gun possession rates that are significantly higher than what we have in the United States. But according to their numbers that they put out, in the most recent ones, we have like 127 guns or something per 100 people in the United States, and Switzerland has something like 37 guns per 100 people. So, you know, it's just, so anyway, you have issues with that. And, you know, just looking through some of the stuff, I don't know why exactly, but they exclude some countries that are, meet the criteria of the OECD, the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development, which is kind of the club of
developed nations,
developed countries.
Yep.
So, you know, Brazil's not included. Russia's not included in those. Brazil has a homicide rate that's like six times higher than what we have here in the United States. Russia is maybe about three times higher. Both have extremely strict gun control laws. You only have about 2% of the population in Brazil owns a gun. So that's another thing. If I were putting this stuff together, I wouldn't measure gun ownership as guns per number of guns per 100 people. I would have the percentage of the population that owns guns. You know, there's a big difference between saying I have 100 guns and 100 people, but I have 1% of the people owning all the 100 guns.
Right.
Or I have 100% of the people owning one gun each. You know, one would think that would be very different in terms of people's ability to go and defend themselves.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then it makes a huge difference. And see, this is why I like to bring you on, because, again, what we see in the news media today, what we see in the reporting, what we see in the punditry, what we see from politicians, all revolves around specific numbers and statistics. But sometimes the average person just doesn't have the background to be able to pull this apart and say, for example, that one example of saying it's one thing to say you have 105 guns for 100 people. It's another thing to say that those 105 guns are split up amongst four of the 100 people, you know, so it changes the dynamic, and people need to understand that. And I think that is, you know, that's where we get caught up in this. And again, going back to the actual numbers in the long run of, because, you know, Dr. Lott, you know this. You get interviewed all the time. You're in the news media eye all the time. I know you're writing op-eds. You're getting picked up in a lot of places lately, I've noticed. But, you know, you see the news media all the time. They put this out there, and you would think that you've got a better chance of winning the lottery than not getting killed by a stray bullet these days. It seems like everybody, you know, 311 mass shootings or 320 mass shootings in 311 days and all these kind of statistics, which in a lot of cases are demonstrably false, but the narrative is picked up. And the second that it is, somebody else cites it, and then somebody else cites it. And then you got to go back 16 generations to figure out who originally said it, and you can't find the facts on it.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the reason why we have our organization, Crime Prevention Research Center. So, like, on this first thing that we were talking about, if people go to our website at crimeresearch.org, on the left column, if you kind of go down, there's a link that says Gun Control Lies. If you click on that, you'll see a graph, and it goes through and talks about kind of how properly to do this empirical work and what it's sensitive to and how these different things are measured and what have you. So people can have that there. But, you know, the points that you're raising, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. It's just, you know, it's just a question of, you know, knowing where to look on
right,
this stuff.
And right.
I've been dealing with this data for a long time.
Right. Absolutely. Dr. John Lott is our guest. He is the author of More Guns, Less Crime. That's one of his biggest works. And his latest piece is called The War on Guns. He's also the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, which you can find at crimeresearch.org. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I have a couple more questions for Dr. Lott, specifically on some of the topics that he's been covering lately. And we're going to talk with him about some of the true facts and statistics on defensive use of guns, concealed carry permit holders, and gun education and how that may correlate to low crime, with a question from the chat room as well. That's all coming up here in just a few minutes. The Michael Duke Show. It is your home for common sense, liberty-based, free-thinking gun radio. Heard live around the world at MichaelDukeShow.com and across the state of Alaska on this, your favorite radio station. Back with more right after this.
We're broadcasting live through a series of tubes.
Allowing all of these entities to provide streaming stuff going on the internet.
Well, it's kind of hard to explain. Sorry. Streaming live every weekday morning on Facebook Live and MichaelDukesShow.com.
All right, we're in the break right now. Dr. John Lott is still our guest here. Dr. Lott, you're still on with the folks who are watching on Facebook Live this morning. We got a dozen people or so here in the room asking some questions. I know that you've been doing.
I didn't answer. I didn't deal with one thing that you just brought up.
Okay.
I was going to get to it, but
we can still.
Now you're mentioning mass shootings.
Yeah, we can get to that. Yeah, and we can get to that when we come back onto the radio here.
Go ahead.
4.5 minutes. Anyway, no, and you can answer it now and then answer it on the radio if you want both times. But I was just going to ask you. You've been getting a lot of coverage lately. Do you think some people are getting the message? Are there more in the news media that seem to be reaching out to you to get some of those facts and statistics, or you know, what's your take on that right now?
I think things are bad. I mean, I've been dealing with the media on gun issues for 20 years, and I've never seen so much bias in terms of the media coverage on this stuff. I mean, it's just getting very difficult to publish op-ed pieces. You have kind of op-ed editors who used to believe that they should have both sides on issues are convinced that they shouldn't give coverage to views on the other side of the gun issue. It's not good.
Well, and it brings into light and brings into question the journalistic integrity. And that's really been something that a lot of people have been questioning. I mean, I'm not one of those guys that believes that fake news is everywhere, but I believe that bias is everywhere. It may not necessarily be fake, but you only may be getting half of the actual story. And that's part of the problem.
Yeah. Right. Well, you see all these studies that Bloomberg funds. When I have a study, I guarantee you they're going to ask a critic about it to evaluate it.
Right.
And which is fine. I expect them to kind of to talk to people on both sides. But they never do that when they have these Bloomberg funded studies. They don't even think about having a critical comment in the stories, and they give it huge coverage when these things come up.
It definitely makes it difficult, and again, it makes our job as my job as a commentator, your job as a kind of as a statistician, as an advocate for the truth and in actual numbers to go out there, makes it definitely much harder for us. We're talking with Dr. John Lott, author of More Guns, Less Crime. We've been talking about the bias in the media and how hard it makes it to get the truth and the information out there. And again, we see it seems to have whipped up this new hysteria where people, I mean, you heard the story about the gal at Harvard who got ousted from her off-campus apartment because her roommates, searched the apartment. They searched her room, her private rooms in the apartment, when they saw that she may have been a Trump supporter or something else, and then they saw the gun, and then they felt unsafe because it may just go off in the closet and all this kind of stuff. I mean, it's crazy stuff like that, but people just kind of nod their head and move on. They're not getting the true facts or the statistics. Again, you watch the news every day, you would have no idea that violent crime and murder have been on a continual decline for 30 to 50 years, depending on the violent crime is like 30. The murder is down like 50 years. It's continued on this downward slope. Nobody mentions that. You wouldn't know it. You'd think that people are getting killed every second of every day.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, there are a number of polls that show that people think that crime has increased. And, and a lot of that just has to do with the media coverage, the things that the media covers more,
right.
People think are getting worse. And so, it's, I'll give you one example, the impact of media coverage. We just had a report that came out on mass public shootings around the world. The United States makes up about 1% of the mass public shooters, and yet we have about 4.6% of the world population. So we're way below the world average. But that's not what you get when you listen to a lot of politicians' statements or Obama's statements on these things or the media's perception. And part of it is understandable in the sense that if you have a mass public shooting in the United States, it's going to get massive attention. But right. When you have these mass public shootings that take place around the world and other places, even in Europe, but especially outside of Europe, they don't get coverage,
right.
Or very much coverage. You may have a school shooting in Russia last month that 20 people were killed and 70 were wounded.
Hold on, Dr. Lott. Let me come back to you here in just a second. We got to jump back. The Michael Duke Show, Common Sense Radio. Turn now with Dr. John Lott, who is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. He's also the author of a slew of books, including one of his preeminent works, More Guns, Less Crime, and his latest work, The War on Guns. He writes op-eds. He's seen on Fox News, CNN, all the different news outlets over the time as a gun expert. Not as much as we'd like to see, because again, I think both Dr. Lott and I agree that there's a tremendous bias in the media. We were just talking about that during the break. But before that, Dr. Lott, right after we went to break, you said you missed talking about something that you wanted to get into on the homicides, and I wanted to give you a chance to finish your thought on that before we jump into my next set of questions.
Sure. Well, I mean, you were asking about mass shootings and the rate that they're occurring. I just want people to understand there's two different definitions that are there. One is it's three or more people shot to death someplace, mass public shootings, which traditionally have been four or more people killed in a public place, not involving something like a gang fight over drug turf or as a result of some other crime like a robbery. And the reason for the FBI definition was to try to get the cases that get people's attention, a school shooting or a mall or a movie theater or something like that.
Right.
And the thing that most people don't understand is we have a lot of mass shootings, but the thing is they're overwhelmingly drug gang fights. And so, the reason to separate out those things is not to say that drug gangs fighting over drug turf isn't an important problem, but to go and to say the causes and the solutions for stopping drug gangs fighting against each other over drug turf is really quite different than going and stopping something like a school shooting.
A random shooting versus something that's based around criminal activity. Is there some kind of number in there, Dr. Lott? Are we talking about, if you lumped them all together, 65% or 70% or 50% of them would be this criminal activity, crime on crime, you know, criminal on criminal, with the other half being the random act of violence? Or, I mean, what, is there a number in there somewhere?
Well, you're going to be talking about like 85% or so of these mass shootings are directly related to, overwhelmingly, going to be drug type gang fights.
Criminal activity, right.
Well, I mean, even if you're going to use more, if you include things like robberies and stuff that had those types of deaths. But it's, yeah, so it's really overwhelming when you're talking about it. And so, you know, you go to, I just recently in Mexico again, and, you know, there you have a country that had a murder rate that's five times higher than what the murder rate here is in the United States. But, you know, they have and guns are extremely heavily regulated. You have one gun store in the entire country. The most powerful gun that they can legally sell is a .22, except there's some special exemption for a couple handguns. But, you know, but they still have a murder rate that's five times higher, and that's basically because they have a real huge drug game problem
right
there in the country. And, you know, it's not like the drug gangs go and get their guns from the gun stores, and they don't get them from the United States. Just as they bring in illegal drugs from around the world as kind of a staging area in Mexico before they bring them to the United States, you know, they bring in the weapons that they need to protect their valuable property. It's not like drug gangs can go to the government, either in the United States or in Mexico, and say, look, this other gang stole our drugs. Can you help us get them back?
Protect us from each other, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but they have to essentially set up their own militaries in order to protect that valuable property that they have. And, you know, if I could click my fingers and cause all illegal drugs in the United States disappear and all guns, you know, how long would it take for illegal drugs to come back into the country? If you're in El Paso, 20 minutes, something like that. But how long would it take for them to go and bring in the weapons that they need to protect that valuable property? They'd be bringing them in at the same time.
Right. Exactly.
And, anyway, just,
well, it's all how you look at the numbers, and you have to understand what the makeup of the numbers are, as you just proved out right there, that number of mass shootings, when 80% of them are drug related and have nothing to do with random acts of violence perpetrated on strangers, like a movie theater or a school shooting, it kind of puts the whole thing in a new light and a new perspective. Let's talk about one of the other things here before we run out of time, Dr. Lott, that seems to have been, it's becoming more oft repeated as of late. And that is the fact that, you know, of course, Wayne LaPierre is famous for saying, you know, the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. And yet we're hearing lately more and more like, oh, well, nobody is really, you know, there's not really any good guys with guns that are stopping anybody. Having a gun is not going to make you safer, or somebody carrying concealed is not going to make you safer. And yet we're looking at the numbers, not just on defensive use of handguns, but we're looking at the numbers of defensive use of handguns in situations where a mass shooting may have occurred had somebody not been there. And those numbers they're pretty obvious that lie being spread by the news media is just that, a lie.
Yeah. I mean, look, there are two points to make. One is that overwhelmingly these mass public shootings take place in areas where citizens aren't allowed to have guns for protection, these gun-free zones.
Right.
And it's not by accident. I mean, if you go and you read the diaries or look at other statements that these killers have left behind, they may be crazy in some sense, but they're not stupid. They know that they want to go and kill as many people as possible. And they know if they go to a place where, you know, general citizens aren't allowed to be able to go and defend themselves, they're going to be a lot more successful in killing people before somebody arrives on the scene with a gun to be able to go and stop them. So there's, you know, nothing particularly deep about that. But then, as you say, there's still a lot of cases where people use guns to go and stop these attacks. On our website at crimeresearch.org, you know, we have a list of mass public shootings that have been stopped. You know, and the amazing thing is when you go through the list there, how little national news coverage that these cases get. I, you know, if the people haven't been there to stop them and multiple people have been killed, I mean, I'm talking about cases where police or sheriffs or prosecutors say that if it wasn't for the concealed carry permit holder, you know, things would have been a lot worse. You know, you look at these things and they just don't, if the people hadn't been there, would have gotten national or worldwide news coverage on the situation.
Right.
But the fact that somebody was there in order to stop it before others were killed makes it a non-story, even though you have a hero and other things that are there in the story.
Right. And like
I've even had cases where there's been video of the hero saving lives, and I haven't been able to get the national media interested in the story.
Right. That makes I remember the story of the Oklahoma restaurant shooting where two separate concealed carry holders came in and stopped the shooter without shooting each other or being harmed by the police or anything else. That news story got about 2 minutes of coverage compared to the wall-to-wall 5, 6, 7 days, 24-hour coverage of some of these other shootings. And it just seems like that there is no interest in having any kind of fair and balanced discussion on this stuff. And that makes it very, very difficult. We're down to the last 2 minutes here. Dr. John Lott is our guest, author of the book More Guns, Less Crime, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. Dr. Lott, in the next, you know, last 2 minutes here, you know, what can people do? I mean, how do they educate? How do they pass the information? How do they get the word out there when the news media is kind of fighting against us at every opportunity on this?
Well, I mean, we at the Crime Prevention Research Center, we're a group of academics who know the numbers and the statistics, and we try to put things together. So, I mean, people can go to our website at crimeresearch.org. They can sign up for our email list, and we send out studies and reports that people can go and educate themselves on these things. So when they go and talk to other people and somebody says, you know, the United States leads the rest of the world in terms of mass public shootings, you know, or that countries with more gun ownership have more homicides, you know, they can go and explain to them what's wrong with those numbers and why they are wrong. So, you know, and then they can write letters to the editor and they can go and talk to people. I mean, it's a real issue. I mean, you have somebody like Michael Bloomberg literally spending hundreds of millions of dollars on funding research.
Right.
He goes and puts together classes for newspaper men around the country, most reporters from around the country, to go and learn how to write about stories involving guns.
Dr. Lott, I appreciate you coming on board. Hold the line here for just a second. Dr. Lott's with Crime Prevention Research at crimeresearch.org. Folks, we're out of time for today. We will see you on Monday. Have a great weekend. All right, Dr. Lott, sorry about that. We were running up against the top of the hour. We had to close out the radio show. We're still going live, though, with folks here on Facebook. So I just want to let you to finish this out. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on this. We have to get this information out there. We have to continue to lay out the facts. We have to continue to show people that this is the truth and this is the case. And we can only do it if we have the proper information. And I think you guys are doing yeoman's work over there at CPRC trying to get these facts out there.
Well, you know, Alaska can do stuff on this. If you guys would finally pass some bills that would allow people to be able to carry permanent concealed handguns in schools or, you know, universities, you know, you would help add to the debate and kind of offset kind of the narrative that's going to be taking place. You know, there's going to, with the elections this last year, one of the big things the media is going to be talking about, the surge in new gun control laws.
Right.
And it would be nice if there was a few states that were kind of going in the other direction on this stuff, to at least kind of change the narrative and make it a little bit more difficult for the media to kind of report this as the wave of the future.
Here's a question, Dr. Lott, and here's a challenge, I guess. I have contact with several legislators that I know personally that would probably be happy to carry legislation. There has been an attempt in the past to allow concealed carry holders or Alaska citizens who are concealed carrying onto campuses. In the past, university campuses specifically, and that was tabled by one of the members who was kind of a special interest of the university, but he has now been basically voted out of office over other issues, and so this might have a good chance of going forward. Would you be interested if I could arrange something like this where you could actually be testify, you know, via phone or teleconference or whatever, or in person, to the legislature on the statistics of these things? I think it would go a long way to help bolster the argument of any legislator who carried a piece of legislation like that.
I'd be there in a minute. I mean, I think this is very important. I think it's important for safety. You know, the problem is when you're dealing with these things, is when so much of the gun control debate, people focus on things that might possibly go wrong with a concealed carry permit holder. You know, will a permit holder who stops a mass public shooting, will they accidentally shoot a bystander?
Right.
Well, that's possible. But I can give you dozens of cases in just very recent years where mass public shootings have been stopped by concealed carry permit holders, and there's not a single case where that's occurred.
Right.
So, you know, if you can point to, you know, a number of cases, then or at least one, you know, at least might be something to go and debate and talk about then. But, you know, just to go and, you know, but that's what you see in the gun control debate just generally. And the only way you can address that is by saying, well, we don't need to guess about what might happen. Here's the actual data on it, and it's not the concern that you seem to think that it is.
Right. Absolutely. Well, I will.
But that's the way you deal with it.
Yeah. Well, I will start working on this on my end, Dr. Lott, because I think I would agree. I think Alaska could lead the way. Alaska already has the highest number of guns per capita in the United States. And I know that, you know, we are also a right to carry state. So we have a lot of people who are carrying concealed without a permit. And I know that
right.
You've talked about how concealed carry holders are, generally speaking, more law-abiding than even the police, and many other statistics that kind of back up some of that data. So I would really love to see that, and I'd love to see Alaska take a front seat in this national discussion on guns and liberty and protection and preventing criminal violence by others. With law-abiding citizens leading the way on this, and I definitely would like to do that. Dr. Lott, I really appreciate you coming on board and talking with us today. I appreciate all the work you do, and I don't tell you that enough when we talk, but I know that this is very hard sometimes and very frustrating that you're preaching, you know, against a tide of you know, just kind of closed minds and closed ears. But I appreciate you. I appreciate what you do. I appreciate what CPRC has done. And I hope that you and yours have a very Merry Christmas, a Happy Holidays. And I appreciate you coming on board.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, Michael. And, of course, I wish you a Merry Christmas. And I appreciate you being there to help educate people and provide some balance.
Well,
I appreciate that.
We're going to keep doing what we can do. That's all we can do is keep fighting the fight until they knock us down for the last time. And you and I will just stand up there and keep doing it until we're done. So
okay.
I appreciate it,
all
sir.
Right.
Thank you so much. Dr. John Lott, again, author of the book, More Guns, Less Crime. You can find out more about him, his works, and everything that they do at crimeresearch.org. Folks, that wraps up the show for us today. As I told you earlier, I've got to travel today for a for memorial service, so I've got to get ready to book it out here and get things rolling. I appreciate you all coming on board and joining us. We look forward to seeing you guys on Monday. If you have any questions or comments, you want to talk about the nerd news segment and tell us whether or not you think that's a good idea, and more, we will continue that as well. We'll have some further discussions on that next week. I think we might start that. That sounds like kind of a fun deal. And we've got quite a cross section that have said yes to that so far as well. Appreciate you coming in and joining us. We got more coming up here on Monday. Podcast will be up here shortly, and we will be pulling all that together as well. It is the Michael Duke Show. Your home for common sense, liberty-based, free-thinking radio. Thanks for coming in and being part of it, folks. We will see you on Monday. Have yourself a great and fantastic day.
We've shed our terrestrial radio skin, and now we are slimy lizard internet people. It's the Michael Duke Show.